ghosts, have they become a cliché? Or can we once again examine this phenomena seriously? After all, isn't it really our own afterlife we're curious about? Let's delve a little deeper on Jim Harold's Ghost Insight. Well, today we're going to have an interesting and fun discussion. We have on the line the Phantom Detectives. It's a paranormal investigation group, and we're glad to have him with us, and it's going to be a fun chat. And we'll go around the horn. We've got three of the members today. First is Joshua Chairs. He is a founder and case manager of Phantom Detectives. He is a paranormal investigator, writer, researcher, musician, and publicist. And he got started in his interest in the supernatural in the early age while watching Unsolved Mysteries with the great Robert Stack. And it's continued. He started investigating. 2002, he had the opportunity to investigate the General Wayne Inn in Pennsylvania. And it has gone on and on and on from there. And we're so glad to have Joshua with us. Also, we have Melissa Farazano. She is the psychic medium of Phantom Detectives. She grew up in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, and since she was a very young child, she's had experiences with spirits, and that enthusiasm has continued on, and she is part of the Phantom Detectives. And last but certainly not least is Rick Warner. He is the tech manager of the Phantom Detectives, and he too has had a lifelong interest in UFOs and the paranormal since he was a child. And we're so glad to have him on here as well. And he's been very involved, particularly in the UFO field as a field investigator and in various regards. Sir. So we're glad to have all three of you with us. Joshua, Rick, and Melissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we'll start off with Joshua. What was the, I mean, there are a lot of paranormal investigation groups out there, obviously, these days. What was kind of the impetus and the idea of founding Phantom Detectives, and what were you trying to put together?
Yes. So originally, we had a group called a previous team that, unfortunately, my lead investigator, Sasha and I in August of 2020, we left a previous team and we wanted to start over without my previous society leader. So we went ahead and created Phantom Detectives LLC. We got business cards, we got t-shirts designed, logos designed, and we started basically doing investigations under the new banner in August of 2020. And then we started basically going out, and our first investigation was with a guy named Brian J. Catto from the Haunted Collector TV show. He was on there with John Zaffis. And October 6th of 2020, we were actually there doing a public investigation with Brian, and we learned a lot about investigations, and we started, learning really how to understand how to use the equipment, how to start actually, like, you know, learning how to set up a DVR system, how to conduct EVPs, how to run the ghost box, and Brian was just a wonderful teacher that night. So after we did that in public investigation, Sasha and I went ahead and we had a website design from the ground up, which is phantomdetectives.org. And we went ahead and we basically started using branding, and basically it was a beautiful website where people can read about us. And we had I designed all the content, and the webmasters designed all of the actual design work. And once we had that all set up, we did our first investigation at Sanderson Museum on December 9th, 2020. That was just when Sasha and I were there at that time. And the Sanderson Museum in Chatsworth, Fort is the home of someone named Christian Sanderson. He was a well-known musician, poet, writer, researcher, and he was also a violin player. And during that first investigation that we had done together, we had quite a few experiences when we were setting up our DVR system right in the violin room, which is known to be the most active part of the museum. We actually were there, and we went ahead and actually had our EMF batteries drained. We had our voice recorders drained. We had the DVR system, or Zuzi four camera DVR system, was going off by itself. And we also had this phenomenon on the sixth investigation for National Ghost Hunting Day on September 25th. So I can definitely tell you this museum, when we did this investigation, was very active. The, both the night that Sasha and I were there, and also when the night that Rick, Melissa, myself, and Sasha were all there together for National Ghost Hunting Day. So both those investigations had a lot of crazy things happen that night.
Now I'm going to move on a little bit and go through the circulation here. I want to touch base with Rick. Rick, you're the tech manager of Phantom Detectives. Now, what I find interesting about you, now I'm one of the kind of people who's interested in all kinds of paranormal activity, and I even lump UFOs and cryptids, kind of unusual, anomalous activity. But a lot of times when you talk to people, I'll talk to ghost hunting people all day long, and the next day I'll talk to, quote, UFO people all day long, and they're not a lot of cross-pollinization. They don't know each other. It's kind of like, oh, those UFO people, oh, those ghost people. But you've kind of walked in both worlds. How did you take your interest in the UFO field and start to take it into paranormal investigation?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I've always been interested in, you know, ghost hunting type thing. I just really never sought to join any kind of organization or anything like that. But I've always taken a great interest in watching, like, you know, ghost hunters and ghost adventures. I always thought, wow, this is really cool. And, you know, having my own construction business and things like that over a period of years working in different people's homes, often I would hear stories about things that paranormal events that took place in people's house. For an example, there was a picture on the wall in one of my clients' home. And the wife had asked the husband, well, what did you do with my picture? It's gone. She thought maybe he threw it away, didn't like it or what have you. And he said, no, I haven't touched it. And so it turned out to be that picture ended up being put away in the closet when neither one of them touched the picture. It just ended up there. So, you know, every now and then I'll hear crazy stories like that. But yeah, I mean, I've always been interested in, you know, anything that involves extraterrestrial events, you know, and also the paranormal. I love going on paranormal investigations, going to different places. And I find it very interesting because every investigation you go to, you find something different. You know, you get a little different feel from different places that you go to. Sometimes you get different results. We have certain devices that will go off, that will be activated by spirit entities. And other times those devices at other locations might not go off. So sometimes you don't always really know like how the spirits are going to react to something. But yeah, I find it very interesting being in the two of those. Currently, right now, I have my own UFO investigative organization called ERC, which stands for Extraterrestrial Research Center. And I'm the executive director as well as the director of investigations. And I also work with one of the largest paranormal investigation group of Italy, because I'm the USA ambassador for the Italian UFO Federation. So,
wow.
So yeah, that's a mouthful there. I know. So,
wow. That impressive. And I do want to get to Melissa. I apologize, Melissa Ferrazzano. Thank you for your patience.
Sure.
So being a psychic medium, with a paranormal group, I guess we'll start first of all with the psychic medium part. It sounds like this started all for you at an early age in terms of having these experiences and having these gifts. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was a very young child when I started having these experiences with spirit. We're talking like, you know, 3 and 4 years old. And of course, for me, it was frightening, even if these spirits truly didn't mean any harm, even if it just came down to that they were happy to be seen. But as a child, trying to make sense of all that, you know, it was a lot. It downright caused me anxiety. And I found that as I got older, I just turned it off. I tuned it out. I turned it off as much as I could. Now, I knew that it was always there, but I guess I made the choice to not focus on spirit. But I mean, you know, you can't totally turn it off. I became that the child and teenager who would sleep with the lights on, because I knew that at some point they could show up in the middle of the night. So I went through life tuning it out up until about, let's say, 6 years ago, when I started seeing it all over again, seeing spirits all over again. And I know it sounds so cliche, you know, they show up in the middle of the night, but that's exactly what happened. I remember 6 years ago waking up out of my sleep and seeing a woman staring me straight in the face, and it just, you know, frightened me. You know, with time, what happened was I just learned to embrace this rather than fear it, and figured out I took time to learn how to work with this ability. So I've worked with various teachers and mentors over the years, and one of the well-known ones is Cindy Kaza from the show The Holzer Files.
Right.
I started studying under her and various others, and then learned how to give readings, you know, learned how to give mediumship readings, especially tuning into other people's loved ones, you know, who wish to connect with them and give messages. So Joshua was also a student of Cindy's, and he found that I live in the area. I was close to him, and he reached out and offered me to join Phantom Detectives. So it's interesting to be able to go through a location and tune into spirit that way, but it works just as well tuning into spirit whether you give a reading or whether you go into a location with activity. You know, it works all the same. So it's been interesting. I've been with Phantom Detectives for probably, what, like 4 or 5 months now. And I've done 3 investigations, and each one, each investigation is unique. It has a, you know, different energy. You know, it's always a bit of a surprise every time I go into these locations, who's going to show up. You know, the feeling that they're going to give me is this, do they want us there? Do they not? So, it's been an interesting journey so far, being with Phantom Detectives and going to these locations and, you know, the messages that I receive from the spirits that, you know, that reside there. So, yeah,
very, very, very interesting. Now, Joshua, I'm always interested with paranormal investigation teams. What is kind of the intake process? Okay, I think that my house is haunted, and I call Phantom Detectives. What happens? What, I contact you and I say, Joshua, something's going on. Take me through that process before you ever step foot into the house. How does that work?
Well, we have a methodology section on phantomdetectives.org under articles, and we have a clear protocol on how we basically, you know, go through the process and how we actually investigate. And what happens is, normally what we do with this process is we basically make everyone fill out an email, send a contact email with your location, is it, just as much information as possible about that location, so that we can then, what we do is I then share the email with the team and say, hey, you know, client A contacted me, and they're having reports of full body apparitions, they're having reports of, you know, UFO activity or whatever protocol. And then once I basically, then what we do is we, after we discuss this as a team, we were going to take on this investigation, I then basically get the client's phone number from the email inbox. And then what I do is our director of client relations, Rick, will do a interview with every client that we do. And with his background at MUFON as a certified UFO field investigator, he, you know, and then after he records the interview on audio, we then as a team, we go back and we listen to the interview. And then basically, once we do that, then we discuss if this case is worth taking on based upon the data, the information that it was given to us by the client. And if this is an investigation that we decide to take on, we then go ahead and basically set a date with the client and a time. And we normally do our walkthroughs with every client so we can know exactly where to set up the equipment, where the actual reports of paranormal activity are, and also where people are having certain experiences. So once we have all that information, we do a baseline investigation. And that involves where basically Rick and Melissa will do a pre-investigation together. Like Melissa will walk through with her readings, and then Rick will walk through with an SLS camera, a thermal camera, or an EMF meter, and just start those specific locations. And then basically we then set up the DVRs, our four camera DVR system that we got. And then we just start doing the investigation, starting right at around 8 o'clock, usually on most nights, and sometimes go to 11 or 12, or sometimes 1 o'clock, depending on, basically how long it takes. And then after we do the investigation, we then basically go back and we review all the data from the voice recorders, from all of our cameras and all the audio recorders, and anything interesting pops up, we then put it in our group text, basically on our smartphones. And we discuss, hey, we found this interesting EVP, or hey, we found this interesting, thermal camera capture. And then basically, then we write a written report. We meet with the client, and then we just basically, say, hey, here's what we experienced. And we write a report. So that way they know everything that we experienced that night, from all the way from the beginning of the investigation to the end. And then we post the results of the investigation, but on phantomdetectives.org, and we normally protect client confidentiality on the website. So we just kind of post like their first name, or, like client or something like that, just to keep their name anonymous, as if they give us permission, we'll use their first name. So we have a clear protocol, and I think that it works really well.
Now, Rick, Joshua talked about the criteria. What are some of the criteria for you guys accepting a case and saying, yes, this is something worth looking into?
Well, basically what happens, like I did with one case we had with a young gentleman there in Philly. So, because we wanted to check out the validity of the case and find out, give the witness a chance to talk about it, about, what they're experiencing in their house and that sort of thing. So using examples, one case that we were working on that particular client that we were investigating, I did an interview with them over the phone. I had a list of questions that I wanted to ask that witness. I actually have a standardized list of questions that I use to develop for Phantom Detectives. So when I interview someone that it's like we're going to go to someone's house and they say, hey, I think I have, some spirits in my house walking around at night or whatever. Then I'll call them up, talk to them, and I'll, go through a questionnaire, ask them a series of questions. And then let them explain in their own words, what is happening in the house. I'm very careful not to influence. It's really important when you're doing an interview not to influence what the witness has to say. You don't want to bait the witness to say a certain thing. You let them tell their story and what they feel is going on and their, what they experience, what's happening. And basically, once I get that interview, of course, when I conduct a recording, I get permission from the witness to make sure that it's okay to record them. And then what I do is I give the audio file to Joshua to listen to the recorded interview. And then from there, we talk about it and make a decision with our team if we feel that this is going to be a good case. And it looks like there's going to be some credibility there to make it worthwhile.
Now, Joshua, I was wondering, you've done quite a few cases. You've been investigating since at least 2002, if not before. Do you have any favorite cases?
There, so far, based upon like the most When I first got my start, the most memorable investigation I did was my debut investigation. At the time, there was a paranormal team based out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And there was this place called the General Wayne Inn based out of Marion Station, Pennsylvania. And there, this was called the Inn of the 17 Ghosts. It dates back to 1704. And also many famous people stayed there. George Washington, the Marquis de Lafayette, Edgar Allan Poe wrote several stanzas of the Raven there, and several other famous people. And that location is called the Inn of the 17 Ghosts. It's been featured on Unsolved Mysteries. And that's how I got my start in the paranormal. And there I was with a late parapsychologist by the name of Micheline Mayer. And there I was with her and a couple other investigators based out of Philly at that time. And when I was in the basement in the wine cellar, I remember basically feeling very uneasy. Many people, and during that time, I took some pictures with my digital camera. I actually caught some really weird green and yellow streaks. And many people have reported seeing a Hessian soldier from the Revolutionary War down in that wine cellar. This soldier has been documented over the last 160, 170 years of the inn in that time. And also, I would say another most interesting thing was the location that Sasha and I were at several times is Pennhurst, which is based out of Spring City, Pennsylvania. It was an insane asylum basically that built in 1908 and actually was for people that had mental disabilities that were going through a hard time. And there we were at the bottom of the Philadelphia building, and we actually captured on this rusted out iron door. We snapped a photo of this pair of a cold yellow, basically cold feet, basically on this door. We have no reasonable explanation how that happened. And just so happened that Grant Wilson, one of our mentors from Ghost Hunters, actually was there that night investigating with the team called Penn Paranormal based out of Berks County that night in 2018. So that was a really fascinating investigation that we did before pre-team and also after team.
Now, I want to go back to Melissa. Mm-hmm. I've almost been interested in what psychics experience. I said this many times on the show, so maybe I will upset people, and I sound like the proverbial broken record. And even me saying that, it's what I say every time, but it's true, because I always ask psychics this question. Ask a little differently for you, because you specifically go out and do these investigations. Mm-hmm. But if you, I feel like I'm sensitive as a board. I don't have any psychic ability, but I've always been curious what it would be like. What's it like when you walk into a, quote, haunted location? What do you feel? What do you experience? What do you sense?
Well, depending on how many spirits, how strong the activity. My very first investigation with Phantom Detectives was the Selma Mansion in Norristown. And I remember walking into the foyer area and just being, felt like I was hit like a tidal wave, just with this, it was just a lot of energy. It wasn't anything negative. I didn't feel like it was harmful. There was just a lot. There were a lot of spirits in that place. So I had to immediately walk out of there, catch my breath, reground myself, if you will, and then walk back in and take my time and see who was tuning into first. So I remember the very first spirit that I tuned into at that mansion was a servant. I want to say she was from the 1700s, and her name is Martha. And now she had a very pleasant demeanor about her. She was very, very welcoming. But I kind of have to, if there's a lot of energy I'm picking up on at once, I kind of have to say, okay, wait a minute, one at a time. I have to tell myself that, and I have to tell the spirits that. So, you know, like I said, each investigation is different. What I found that's interesting as well is, sometimes I can tune into certain things about these places when I haven't even investigated them yet. So, for instance, before we even investigated the Selma Mansion, I remember saying to Joshua that I am picking up a connection with Abraham Lincoln And I couldn't figure out why. I thought, what would Abraham Lincoln have to do with this expansion? And we come to find out now, what was it? Abraham's wife,
Mary Todd.
Yeah. Her uncle was Joshua.
Mary Todd Lincoln's great grandfather, General Andrew Porter, that the Selma Mansion was home to him back in the late 1700s, early 1800s. And also his grandson, Horace, also fought in the Civil War. So Mary Todd Lincoln's great grandfather was very much involved in building that. And also Mary Todd Lincoln was known to shop in Philadelphia during that time period in the 1860s as well.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. So it's interesting that I could start tuning into pieces of information even before entering these places. So, another residential case that we investigated, we went into this gentleman's apartment and I got a very negative feeling. Now, not a negative spirit, but I tuned into a woman right away saying, hey, you know, you're invading my space here and I don't like it. So, Each place is different. Each place gives off its own. Each spirit gives off its own unique vibe. And the biggest thing that we can all agree on as investigators is that we come into these places respectfully. We will never demand anybody to speak with us. So and what I do is I do my initial sweep. That's what we call it. Who I'm tuning into, I keep a notebook and pen. That's my piece. That's my major piece of equipment. And I jot things down as I go. And then with our equipment, we see if we can verify what I'm tuning into. And the number one thing before I investigate any place is that I'm not to know anything about these places because that will taint the investigation. It's better that I go in there blindly, if you will. So each place has its own, like I said, unique vibe. And we just, like I said, we try to verify what I tune into with our equipment. So that's usually how we work together as a team and how I do my part.
Now, one thing I'm always interested in is the tech. You know, I'm looking around this room. I have a ton of different various electronics. Looks like a spaceship in here. Probably way more than I need. I love tech. And I know, Rick, that tech is very popular for paranormal investigation. Everybody wants to see the tech. Everybody wants to see the tech. But where do you think the tech belongs in its proper place without overshadowing things like what Melissa does and using your eyes, your ears, your senses, paper and pencil, common sense? Where do you think the place of the tech lies, the proper place?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, you know, there's a lot of things that are required that you need to bring into an investigation, kind of some of the things you touched upon. So, the devices, you know, we're using, they are any technical devices that we bring into investigation is simply a tool to help us gather information. You want to call it data, putting data together. So we can arrive at a conclusion with each place that we go and do an investigation. So, there are some, you know, back in the days, you know, you didn't have, people weren't using like, you know, thermal cameras, and they didn't have, you know, little teddy bears with lights that go off that were set off. I mean, now there's some very sophisticated, very cool gadgets that are very helpful when it comes to communicating with the spirit world. But also, you know, it takes more than just the technical part alone. You also have to come into an investigation with an open mind. You have to be asking questions about things as you're going along and doing the investigation. We also do a lot of things where we're asking, like during our EVP session, or during when we use our dowsing rods, things like that, we will ask questions to the spirits in hopes of getting answers from them. And, most of the time, we've actually been pretty lucky on our investigation as far as getting of spirits making contact with us. And I think a lot of that is the way how we kind of approach things. You know, we go into with the thing is like, you know, just like, you know, you do with people on an everyday basis, treat others the way you want to be treated with respect. We go into investigation and we treat these spirits as just as any other person that you would want to be respectful towards. And we don't come in and try to provoke the spirits or anything like that, because, you know, a lot of times that's not good, because you just end up pissing them off and you might not get the answers you're looking for. So, you know, we go in very respectful and we treat them like this is their home. And, you know, which we feel that they are in a sense, because they're living there. And we ask them questions respectfully, and that helps us get good results. But yeah, I think, you know, technology, you know, you can't just have technology alone without, you know, you have to know how to operate that technology and how to bring that technology into its best form.
I think that's an excellent, oh, I'm sorry. I think I interrupted somebody. I heard somebody going to talk. Does somebody else have something to say first? I guess not. I just heard a little electronic MIP, speaking of technology. But Rick, to your point about provoking, I couldn't agree more. I am not a paranormal investigator. I've never claimed to be one. But to me, It seems unfortunate that people would go in and yell at something if it, you know, I guess if this spirit or whatever has done a negative thing or done something nasty, someone, it might be a little different. But in general, I wouldn't go into somebody's house and start yelling at them. You know, you might end up being a ghost yourself if you do that. Why would I do that? Why would not I respect these spirits, whatever they are? I agree with you fully. I've never understood the concept of provoking.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, like, you know, when you watch some of these TV shows, in all honesty, I mean, you know, let's face it, some of these shows, you know, they want you to go the extra mile to get the ratings up. So, you know, like you'll see, like, you know, with Ghost Adventures, which I love, Zach Bagans, and, you know, I enjoy watching their shows, but they will come in to investigations. And let's say there was a time when someone who was in a particular house or an establishment, and maybe a particular spirit tried to push them down the stairs or something like that. And, you know, Zach will come on and say, okay, come on now, try and do that to me. I dare you, do that to me. You know, I don't like a bully and this kind of thing. And that's fine, because I remember him saying in one episode, he goes, I don't like a bully in real life and I don't like a bully spirit, which is fine. But sometimes you're better off to leave that stuff alone and, you know, just come in, you know, respectfully. And you're, you know, just like people you deal with on an everyday basis, if you show kindness and respect, you're going to get better results in most cases than if you just demand that they give you some sort of paranormal activity, demand that they leave voice messages on your EVP recorder, you know, that sort of thing.
So, Joshua, if somebody wants to get in touch with Phantom Detectives and start the process and see if you would be a good fit for them, how do they go about that?
Yes, actually, we have three organizations, as Rick basically knows. His website is ERC2, and then the words explore.com. We also have, you know, our website, which is Phantom, PHANTOM. Detectives, DETECTIVES, Phantom Detectives, all one word.org. And we also, on May 21st, 2021, we had acquired the rights to Dark Matter News, which was a 5-minute paranormal newscast at the bottom of every hour on Art Bell's Midnight in the Desert. And we have just recently relaunched darkmatternews.com under a new look, under our leadership. So now we are now in control of Art Bell's news service, and we're planning on pumping out new articles in the coming years.
Very good. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with Joshua Chairs, Rick Warner, and Melissa Ferrazzano about Phantom Detectives. Thank you all very much. And as I say on my campfire show, stay spooky. Thanks for being a part of the show today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this edition of Ghost Insight, and we will talk to you next time. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.